Let's say hello to our NHL insider, Jonathan Davis from NHL Network Radio. Get the latest on what's happening in the U.S. West Division. A lot happening in the U.S. West Division. As I teased going into break, Mr. Davis, look who's on top, or not sitting on top, but look who's sitting second in that division. That would be the Minnesota Wild, despite their overtime loss to the Vegas Golden Knights a couple of nights ago. But significant news coming out of Minnesota before they play the Golden Knights again tonight, and that would be the scratching of Zach Parise tonight.
Yeah, and this was the first time in his 9-year career that that he was a healthy scratch. He's been a healthy scratch for the Minnesota Wild, and just the second time in his 16-year career. But you know, Pat, if people didn't watch that game, that was one that Minnesota. On Monday night, they blew a 2-goal lead late, and the tying goal came with Zach Parise just not making the line change. He was out there for the for a 90-second shift. His line mates got off the ice, but he didn't, and it didn't sit well with Dean Evason. And Evason really wouldn't address it on yesterday, but he addressed it today, and he addressed it with Zach Parise. This is the punishment. You got to be accountable, and so he'll sit tonight. It's a pretty big statement. Now, it's been a struggle for Parise this year. I mean, it's 3 goals and I think 9 points in 16 games. But attention to detail is so important. And, let's bring it back to your area. I mean, I think everyone's been kind of waiting for, what will Jeff Ward do? Will he make a move like that? Will he sit Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan just to make a statement? So I think this is a really – this is, it's important. I think when you scratch a guy like that, it just keeps everybody on their toes and just shows them that, we're not playing favorites here.
It's very true. And that was, having not paid as much attention to what's happening in Minnesota as I have somewhere in some of the other spots in this North Division, it's still like, whoa, that is quite the shocker to be benching a local guy like that and sitting Zach Parise in the press box. So that is quite the move from Dean Evason, the head coach of Minnesota, a Wild team that still earned a point despite it being in gut punch fashion against Vegas 2 nights ago. But this team sits second by points percentage in the West Division, and they are having a really, really nice season. And you've talked to a couple of people in the hockey world about what the difference is in Minnesota this year.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that a former coach shared with me was that he said, look, when you used to line up to play against the Minnesota Wild, or, their goaltending was, especially last year, it was suspect. And if you had maybe 4 good scoring chances on them, you'd probably score 3 times. And that's just not the case this year. The goaltending that they've been getting from, primarily from Kaapo Kähkönen with the injury to Cam Talbot, it's been really good. So that, when you've got a goalie that can make a save for you and keep the momentum going, just ask the Vancouver Canucks what that's like.
No doubt about it. And tell us about this Wild power play and what we've seen there as Minnesota continues to have some success.
Well, the power play is non-existent. I mean, there's so many good, there are a lot of good things going on in Minnesota. The power play is 31st. It's been, I think it's 5 for 63 on the year. It's got awful. But the big thing for Minnesota is that 5-on-5, they're the best team in the West Division. I think their goal differentials, it's double digits. I think it's like plus 13. And, their 5-on-5 play has been really good. And, the other thing that the coaches were telling me is that they have legitimate scores now. I mean, what you're seeing from the rookie and Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson-Ek is developing into a goal scorer. Kevin Fiala, hasn't put up – he's got 6 goals this year. I think that, I think he would like to see – he would like to have more than 6. But, they've got legitimate threats. And you watch the Wild now, and I'll tell you, Pat, I mean, that was a team for me that you would watch them most nights, and they're kind of like in the mushy middle. And right now, they're fun to watch. Yep. And Kaprizov or Kaprizov, tomato, tomato, whatever you want, he's really exciting to watch.
If that power play starts to turn it on, that could be another element that could make that Minnesota team that much more dangerous. What about the team they're playing tonight? Vegas Golden Knights come from behind, beat Minnesota on Monday, and they've now won 3 consecutive games. Tell us a little bit more about the Knights.
Well, I'll tell you, and for them to come back on that night, Pat, I mean, that was the first night that they had fans back in the building. So what a night to have that type of performance. And Mark Stone, you know, five apples that night, in on all five goals that Vegas has scored. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury had an off night. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, that was a game that they did not deserve to win. Marc-Andre Fleury looks like a guy that, you know, has started nine consecutive games. He wasn't by any means awful, but you could see that he was a little rusty, to say the least. And so that was a big victory for them. He'll start again tonight. That'll be 10 consecutive starts. You know, last year he never started more than five in a row. You have to go back to, I think, the first season in Vegas where he did have a run of 13 consecutive games. And in talking to people in Vegas today, you know, I thought there may be an opportunity for Logan Thompson, who right now is the backup goalie, to maybe start Friday night against San Jose, because then they've got a run of, you know, games, I think, with Minnesota and St. Louis. I don't think that's going to happen. Not sure when Robin Lehner is coming back. But I'll tell you, you know, when Logan Thompson gets some action and people are going, who the heck is Logan Thompson? He's a really good story. Just a story of perseverance, a kid who played in the Western League, got drafted, never went anywhere, went and played at Brock University, was the OUAA goalie of rookie of the year, and has battled his way through and you know, finds himself now serving as the backup goalie. He was the goaltender of the month in the AHL in February.
Now, Vegas hosts Minnesota tonight, and then they've got San Jose coming up at the end of the week, and you're really interested to see if there's any bad blood that carries over as the Golden Knights and Sharks play on Friday.
Yeah, I get the impression from, I reached out to some people in Vegas, and they're expecting it. And the last time these two teams met, San Jose kind of felt that Jonathan Marchessault took some liberties with Radim Šimek, and Šimek, got hurt in that game as a result of a couple of hits that the Sharks felt questionable. Bob Bugner was upset by the lack of pushback from his team, but it would not surprise me when they meet Friday in San Jose if there is definitely a target on the back of Marchessault, and maybe it's Evander Kane. I'm not sure who it's going to be from San Jose, because this is a team that only has one fighting major the entire season, but someone's going to take a run at Jonathan Marchessault. Do something to settle the score.
With Jonathan Davis, our U.S. West Division NHL insider, joins us every Wednesday inside hockey here on the Sports Drive at 5. Let's focus in on the Blues, who are on the road in Anaheim. The road's actually been a pretty nice place for St. Louis.
It sure has. I mean, 8 wins on the road. I think they're 4-6-2. On home ice, but it's 8-2 on the road, and it's just a team right now, Pat, that is still just ravaged by injury. They're expecting Vladimir Tarasenko will not play tonight, but they are expecting him to play. They've got two games coming up in LA this weekend, and then one in San Jose. Craig Berube has said that he will make an appearance on this road trip, so that's great news for a St. Louis team that's got, I think still like 7 guys that are out for an extended period of time. And a couple of them like Bozak and Parayko, out indefinitely. And Bozak with a concussion and a hit that goes back to a game against Vegas, and Parayko dealing with a back injury.
Now, and they're also having some trouble scoring right now. What's happening with Mike Hoffman?
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out, and so I made a call out to some people in St. Louis today. I talked to one person that's very close to the Blues situation, and basically it seems that Mike Hoffman is almost like a square hole in a round peg. I think they'd like to see more big boy hockey from Mike Hoffman, and maybe a little less on the perimeter. And I just don't think right now or to this point in time that he's fit into Craig Berube's system. And, you take a look at, they scored 11 or 12 goals these last two games. Mike Hoffman had just one assist. And he's got, I think it's like 2 goals in his last 11 games. And these last two games, I mean, Pat, he played under 14 minutes in each of them. 12, I think it was, in the game against Anaheim. It's You know, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle, to say the least.
Now let's move to Colorado, because you talked about the injury situation with St. Louis, very much a walking wounded there, and Tarasenko getting close, which is huge. Colorado's had some injury issues as well, and right now the status of Cale Makar. What's the latest there?
Well, he missed their last game against San Jose, and he'll miss tonight's game as well against the Sharks. So, you know, he's dealing with a lower body injury. I don't think it's anything serious. I think that, you know, the concern would be, you know, look, I think he'll have missed 20 games this year. And, he missed 25 games last year. And, you know, so I don't know if he's a guy that's injury prone, but I think, you know, right now the bigger issue in Colorado is just the lack of consistency. And they had a team meeting today before the game. And, you know, just kind of, I think, really had, you know, an honest discussion about guys just needing to play harder, because when they, you know, when they're at their best, you know, they really are, and they should be, you know, one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, they gave up 6 unanswered goals to San Jose on Monday night after building a 2-0 lead. And that's just not acceptable at all.
And that is very interesting about Colorado. They sit 4th in the division right now, 4th place by points, but 3rd by point percentage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's, look, 3rd is, you know, look, we figured, you know, that 1-2-3, you know, Vegas, you know, throw a dart between Vegas, St. Louis and Colorado at the end of the day. But I think really it's just the inconsistency that we've seen from the Avalanche, and that's been the big concern right now. You know, I think really outside of Philip Grubauer, they'd like to see a lot better play out of everybody. Yeah. And I think Nathan MacKinnon's only got 2 goals on the year. I mean, it's been a bit of a struggle in the goal production for Nathan MacKinnon.
Let's move to Southern California, our last stop on our trip around the U.S. West Division with our NHL insider Jonathan Davis of NHL Network Radio. This Kings team has been a real surprise all year long, and they've got a pretty decent power play going as well.
They do, and they're at 25% on the power play, and the key has been, you know, the 36-year-old Dustin Brown, who leads this team with 5 power play goals. I mean, specialty teams have been really what's propelled this team, you know, to this start. They're, fifth on the power play. They're 4th in the penalty kill. But, you know, Brown being able to capitalize on goals, you know, we're seeing, you know, Drew Doughty's numbers on the power play. And he's got 10 of his 17 points on the power play. And, you know, I in years past, you know, that has not been one of Drew's strong points. Look, there's no question, because 5-on-5, they're minus 4 in the goal differential. And that shouldn't surprise people, because it doesn't surprise me, because, you know, they're not the most talented team, but at the same point, you know, as I say that, I'm still baffled at the fact that they're 25% on the power play. So it seems like a contradiction in terms when I say that, you know, that I'm not surprised because they're not the most overly skilled team,
yeah,
but they sure have found a way to make it work with the man advantage.
And the penalty kill has been pretty good. Like, it's just, they've been able to hone in on a few different details.
And Pat, though, like, penalty kill doesn't surprise me, because penalty kill is all about hard work and dedication.
Right.
And that's the motto of this LA Kings team. So that is an area that I would expect them to excel in, and they have. So, kudos to them for that. It's just been, you know, again, the older guys are leading the way, led by Dustin Brown. And so it's kept them, you know, in the conversation for a playoff spot, and, you know, in a very tight division where I think it's 5 points separate 1st and 6th.
Let's get to Anaheim to finish it off, where the kids are all right. We know they're trying a much younger lineup, and it seems like some of their young talent is really starting to find their way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, what they've seen from, you know, Isaac Lundestrom, you know, we had a hat trick in their loss to St. Louis a couple of nights ago. And, you know, he's got 5 goals as a guy, you know, he's got 5 goals in 15 games, and, you know, a guy that didn't have any goals, I think, in his first 35 games. And Max Comtois, you know, continues to lead this team with 8 goals. And, You know, what we saw, you know, Trevor Zegras, while he still hasn't scored a goal yet, I mean, you know, he had the highlight reel goal in a shootout. He tried the Michigan goal against St. Louis, and Billy Husso beat him to the punch, the St. Louis goaltender, in being able to stop it. But he is definitely a dynamic player, to say the least. And, it's encouraging. Now, they'd still like to see more out of guys named Steele, Terry, and Jones. But, you know, they are starting, you know, there are some positive signs there with the three that I mentioned. And we'll see what happens with the veterans, because I have a feeling that Bob Murray is, you know, I think they're going to try to make some type of transition. And, hey, look, we already saw them put Adam Henrique on waivers. Though he came back the next, and his next game, he scored the tying goal against Vegas. So he reacted quite well. But look, yeah, so, you know, when you're a team like Anaheim, you're looking for some encouraging signs, and they have those right now with at least those three kids.
And it's funny, you talk about what they might do with their veterans, what Bob Murray might do. Max Comtois has 8 goals. Ricard Raquel, Jacob Silverberg, and Ryan Getzlaf have combined for 8 goals. They're in a very interesting spot with some of their veterans right now.
They are. And look, I'm sure that Bob Murray is waiting for calls. He'll take calls on Raquel and Silverberg. And, you know, I mean, those were the two guys that I think that they had hoped would be the next Getzlaf and Perry. And they just haven't been. And Silverberg looked like a guy that would be a constant, you know, 25 minimum goal scorer. And Raquel, you know, has shown that same flair as well. I thought he would be in that 25 to 30 range. But it just hasn't happened. And then, look, still the biggest thing, Pat, is what happens with the captain. Because Ryan Getzlaf, you know, I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He's got this, the final year of his deal. I don't know if any contract talks have started. And I'm not really sold that Ryan Getzlaf is looking to go chase another cup somewhere. I could be wrong.
Yeah. It's, I'd be curious right now, like, no knock on,
and his
on
contract
Getzlaf.
Doesn't help either.
Contract's no good. He's 36 in May. Like, I'd be curious as to how much interest there would be in a guy like Getzlaf, or maybe not so much the interest. I'm sure the teams, if you're eating half the salary, I'm sure that you could get some bites. But he's got 8 points so far this year, and I just, what type of return are you even getting for a guy like that? That's really interesting to me.
Yeah. A lot can happen between now and April, and What does Elliot always say? Like, what's true now is going to be true 10 minutes from now?
What does he know?
Yeah, I know.
It's a good point. Buffoon. He really is. Why do we have him on twice a week? Break some news, Friedman.
Yeah.
Great stuff, JD. Good to catch up with you. Some really interesting stuff happening in that West Division, whether it be Minnesota.
By the way, Pat, I hate to promote Elliot, but it does connect to the U.S. West Division.
Yeah.
The most recent, well, they did a podcast with Mario Ferraro of the San Jose Sharks. Besides being Cale Makar's teammate at UMass, if you haven't listened to this podcast, go listen. This guy, especially for the younger generation, if you haven't checked out his YouTube videos, he's a really cool dude. Like, this was a great, like, never expected to hear the stuff that I did from him. Really interesting guy.
What's happening on your podcast, by the way, the Show Me the Money Hockey podcast?
We just recorded an interview with Bruce Boudreau that should be released tomorrow. Always great catching up with Gabby. He's never at a loss for words.
Get some good guests on that podcast. Well done. That's another that's another good one. I like that. Looking forward to Bruce Boudreau on the Show Me the Money Hockey podcast, where you can find and download wherever you find and download your podcast. Mr. Davis, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, pal.
All right. You too, Pat. Have a great one. Enjoy.